Welcome to the Fast Five by Fear and Greed. I'm Michael Thompson, and good morning, Sean Aylmer.
Morning, Michael.
Today, in just 5 minutes, we're going to get an idea of what 2022 will look like. We've spoken previously about where we live and how we earn money, but what about how we spend it?
Yes, we know that the pandemic created a lot of pent-up demand. People saved money that otherwise be spending on travelling and meals at restaurants and that sort of thing. Demographer Mark McCrindle is the principal of McCrindle and an advisor to boards and committees across Australia. Mark, how will we see money spent this year? Do you think it will continue to be spent online? Do you reckon it'll be back to bricks and mortar? Do you think there'll be a hybrid? How's that work, do you think?
Yeah, it'll be all of the above there, because we have shown through lockdowns in the last couple of years that we can shop online, that it does work. And even the laggards who hadn't really given it a go have moved to a bit more of that grocery shopping online, a bit more of even the fashion shopping online. It's convenient, it's good returns policies and some cost benefits as well. So that's here to stay. However, we are tactile beings as humans. We like to go to the shops and feel it and look at it and touch it and have a chat. And so we still, for key purchases, will want to be in the bricks and the mortar. And that's part of the shopping experience. So that is here to stay as well. So our future will be hybrid, a little bit of both.
What I found interesting over the Christmas period and the sales after Christmas was every time I'd go with my kids to buy something, I mean, I don't ever use cash. I thought I was pretty good just using a debit card. They wouldn't think of a debit card in a million years. They use their phone or their watch, depending on who they are. What's it mean for cash? What's it mean for debit cards, for that matter?
Well, that's another area that's really picked up the acceleration through COVID of the contactless payments, you know, using the phone to pay. And so not even pulling out the plastic anymore. And that is a trend that is here to stay as well. And so, yeah, we're not using cash. We've even moved away from those credit cards. It's the digital device and even the smartwatch that contains the means by which we can pay these days. And this is true not only in stores, even at the fete, the cookie sale, the market, yeah, whatever the business, we've got those little tiles and we can pay through that means. So right across the board, those cash payments, even for small things like a coffee, have moved to the digital. And that, for the next generation, is the only way they pay.
Mark McCrindle, I wanted to ask you about Generation Alpha. That's the name you've given to the generation born between 2010 and 2024. They will be totally defined by technology, presumably.
That's right. I mean, the year they were born, 2010, it happened to be the year that Instagram was launched, the iPad was released, and the word of the year in that year was the word app, which is so much of how we interact on these devices. So that tells us a lot about their times. And yeah, they are these digital natives. They have integrated technology into their world from the youngest age. It's how they learn and spend their spare time and socialize and connect as well. So more than any prior generation, this 21st century generation of youngsters are defined by the technology.
How much do you think that the current generation, I'm not sure what I'm referring to here, youngsters, but anyone between the age of 10 and 25, will be defined by COVID? We didn't have a baby boom exactly, but certainly it's had a profound impact on everyone's lives, but particularly young people's lives.
Well, that's right, Sean. And it's interesting because we've all lived through COVID. In fact, we all use the technologies I was discussing, but the age at which we're exposed to a technology or a new invention, the age at which we live through a global issue like a pandemic, does determine how embedded that becomes in our lifestyle and our psyche. And so we share these experiences, but the younger people are most impacted by these experiences because of their age. You think about a 6 or 7-year-old, COVID has been a third of their life. It's been half of their living memory. Its impact will be massive. And I think there's a lot of positives to that. Obviously, a lot of insecurity and negatives, and we're aware of some of the mental health challenges, but positives because it's equipping them with the ability to innovate and to adapt and to use the digital and to be resilient, a little bit like the generations that lived through the Great Depression or the wars created this conservatism to save up, to be prepared for the future, to adapt to whatever the season or the weather. And I think that is what we will see from COVID in this generation, having experienced it in their formative years.
And finally, I mean, in a sense, that's a kickback to my grandparents' era, is the idea of being able to adapt and sort of scrounge and kind of make do with whatever you have. I'm not sure that analogy quite works, but certainly they have to be ready for whatever hits them, in a sense, this generation, just like my grandparents' generation did.
And that's a good connection point. They are a bit like their grandparents, who were more conservative, you know, appreciated stability and job security, recognized the economy doesn't always go up, it goes down. And that is a great thing that only comes through tough times, through adversity. So in some ways, they are like our grandparents, only with cyber currency and technology. So, you know, I think there's great things in the mix that this generation brings.
One final question. Do you think a 10-year-old will ever in the future be able to afford a house, given the house prices across the country?
Well, those house prices will continue to rise, but so will the wages. And I think the key, because house prices have been outstripping wages in their growth, the key is the bank of mum and dad. So with the support of their parents who have benefited from the asset appreciation, even the youngsters in most circumstances will be able to get hold of a house, might take longer to pay it off, and might take two incomes, not just one. But with the bank of mum and dad, I think that will really help.
I don't think that's very good news, Mark. Thank you for talking to Fast Five by Fear and Greed.
Oh, thanks a lot.
That was demographer Mark McCrindle. Michael, are you prepared to pay for your children's houses in the future?
I better start saving now. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thanks, Michael.
That's it for today. Make sure you hit follow on the podcast. I'm Michael Thompson, and that was the Fast Five by Fear and Greed.